I'm thankful for these guys because sometimes God speaks to you through your kids. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. God, I thank you, Lord, that you would just speak to us today. God, on this Palm Sunday, God, we want to celebrate you. On this Palm Sunday, we want to make room for you, make space for you, God, that you would speak into our lives, speak into our families. God, speak into our homes. God, speak into our church. God, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Who is excited about what God is doing? I don't know about you, but I am excited. How many enjoyed the screen today? I don't know about you. It's pretty awesome, right?
Yes.
We're going to talk about that in a little while. But I want to talk about Palm Sunday. Look at somebody, say Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday.
Tell somebody Happy Palm Sunday. We're celebrating what God is doing, and I ask my kids and ask my beautiful wife to come up here on the stage with me today. And so we got Christian and Esperanza. Ariella is, she is in the back because she's going to, her contribution is,
there she is.
Super cuteness. And
she
wants
said,
to be up here.
She said, why'd you call me out, Daddy?
Well, I want to talk about why Palm Sunday is so special. 2,000 years later, why is it that we're still celebrating what was done, what Jesus did, what happened in Jerusalem on that day? And so to explore that a little deeper, I called my two little experts up here because Jesus said we have to have faith like a child. Matthew 18:2, Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you'll never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So we can really learn a lot as adults from how God uses kids and gain a new perspective and even go back and say, why are we celebrating this day? What is the foundation of this? So Esperanza, we'll start with you. Why are we celebrating Palm Sunday today?
Because we need to remember that we need to welcome Jesus in just like they welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem.
Yes.
So we're still today, we want to capture that part. Not what happened a week later, but in Jerusalem, what was happening when they welcomed him in. They were so excited about what God was doing. And so if we cultivate that spirit in us, that Palm Sunday spirit that we're saying, thank God, praise God, Hosanna, I'm welcoming him into whatever I'm doing, whatever season of my life, I want to get him right square in the middle of my family, of my relationships, of my what I'm aiming to do in my future. And so putting God in the middle, welcoming him into our lives is an important takeaway from that. Now, Mark 11 and 7, why don't you go ahead and read that part?
When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts.
Yeah. So there's two main things that Hosanna means that we see here in this story. Guys, do you remember what Hosanna means when we talked about it? Go ahead.
It means praise.
It means praise, and what else does it mean?
It means come and save us urgently.
Yes, and so Hosanna is, it's like two parts. One part is praise, one part is prayer. One part is saying praise God, literally saying praise God when we say Hosanna. And the other part is saying God save us. And so when we're saying Hosanna, we're saying a prayer and a praise. And what was happening in Jerusalem was they were saying, God, we need you to come right now. We need an answer quick. We need something. Maybe it looks like Moses. Maybe it looks like David. But we need a Messiah. We need a hero. We need a hero. We need somebody to come right now and help us. Not tomorrow. We don't need unfulfilled promises. God, we need you to save us. Anybody ever been there where you're like, God, I need you to save me right now. I'm in a circumstance, whether it's big or small or medium, that I need you to step in. So we need a savior and we need him right now. And this is the thing about salvation. It's normally urgent. Look at somebody and say urgent.
Urgent.
Right? Salvation is never like, okay, I need saving. But you know, whenever you get around to it, right? You're drowning in the water. You don't need somebody to come next Thursday. You need somebody to come immediately. So this is the concept when we talk about salvation. And even when we look at our community and say, man, sharing the word of Christ, the gospel, the good news, it's not a situation that's like, hey, whenever I get around to it. There's an urgency about salvation. So these people in Jerusalem, they were saying, it's urgent. God, save us now. So look at somebody and say, Hosanna. So that's what we mean when we're saying Hosanna. We're meaning praise God and also God save us. Yes. You know, and so the thing about the saving is it can't just be anybody. Not anybody can be a savior, right? You have to have a specific skill set. Now, sometimes, Christian, we like to watch superhero stuff, right? So what is your favorite superhero? Savior is like a superhero, right?
Right.
So what is your favorite superhero?
Hulk.
And why is Hulk your favorite superhero? Everybody wants to know. Because what?
He crushes the bad guys.
He crushes. Not just hurts, he crushes them.
Yeah.
And so his ability is he can smash things. Hulk smashes. But every hero has different abilities. And there's certain people, you know, when you're in a certain position, Esperanza, if you're drowning in the water, you need who to come and save you?
A lifeguard or somebody who knows how to swim really good.
So somebody has the skill set for that. If you get stranded on the top of a mountain and you're freezing and you got nothing to eat, you need what type of person to save you, Christian?
A person who has lots of supplies.
Uh-huh. And maybe a helicopter?
Yes.
So there's a different skill set for everything. And then we look on a bigger, you know, on a smaller level. I was talking to Kennard. Kennard needed a jump. And so I gave him a jump on Thursday. You can be somebody's hero on a smaller level if you got the skill set. Something simple like a flat tire, jump a car, you know, that's easy. But then we have some, you know, bigger situations like, you know, the Mount Everest or the lifeguard. And then bigger than that, we have national heroes like a George Washington or a Nelson Mandela or a Moses in ancient Israel. But there's only one person that can save the world, right? Kids, who is the one person?
Jesus.
Okay, good. All right. That was the most important question there.
Can I share something real quick?
Yes.
Hey, so I was just going to say, you know, we kind of mentioned this, I think, at the last group sermon, and that is, like, it's important to remember this is all to help us. It's always a parallel. Oh, hello. God always shows us things that we can do in the now through his word. And one of the things that's so great about Palm Sunday is it reminds us of how much expectation people had. Like, they came in knowing, like, I heard that the Savior is coming and we've been praying for a Savior. There was so much expectation there, and they knew that they could turn to him for their problems, that he was their salvation. So in today's world, sometimes we can get so busy and start to look at other things and apply natural things to be a solution for things that were, you know, troubles that we're having. And so I think, just like you were talking about the specialists, like, it's important for us to remember, turn to Jesus first. Always seek him as your number one source, because he is our everything. He is our provider. He is our healer. And you know, we hear it, we know it, but do we apply it every day as an application, you know, for him to truly be savior in our lives in every sense of the word? So I think that's important to look and reflect on.
Yeah. So What type of things, Esperanza, do you think that people need saving from? Because we know we have the big thing, right? He saves us from our sins. But what are some of the smaller things?
Fear, lying, breaking promises.
That's awesome. And what was the last thing?
Like just being mean.
Just being mean. That's true. Christian, what are some of the things that we need Jesus to save us from?
Burdens.
Mm-hmm. Burdens. It's good.
The devil.
The devil. That's right. I think a lot of times, you know, we go through moments and we get hurt and then we're carrying those hurts. And so, you know, one of the things that's so amazing about our relationship with Christ is that he can heal us in ways that nobody else can. You know, there's some places that only God can heal you. There's some addictions that only God can break. There's some things that only God can help you with. And so to know that Jesus is, you know, the Savior from the very biggest thing, you know, to even smaller areas that we're struggling with in our own hearts, loneliness, depression, fear, addiction, lust, depression, you know, he's there for us. And all we have to do is ask. All we have to do is invite him in and say, God, save me. Jesus, save me.
I thought you were going to say something.
I love listening to the different or looking at the different scriptures, like from the disciples, because they all tell the story from their account. And in John, his account was this. It's found John 12:17. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. That was the reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this miraculous sign. And that really stood out to me. So the reason that many went out was because they heard of a miracle that Jesus had done for somebody else. And I think to myself, how many times do we find ourselves saying, you know, I've seen God do this in somebody else's life, and I've been waiting, I'm praying for this. And so they came with an expectation saying, I'm going to meet Jesus. I'm not going to let him go because I need him to do this for me. So I wanted to encourage us in that, you know, if you've been waiting for something, know that the same Jesus that did it for somebody else, as many times as you've heard it, he will do it for you. Hold on to that. Hold on to the fact that he is your salvation. He's not somebody else's salvation. He is also your salvation.
That's so good. And what happened in Jerusalem was they were praising God. It was the Passover celebration, so they were there to celebrate the Passover. They're celebrating God. And so in the midst of them celebrating and praising God, Jesus shows up. And I call this principle, when the praise goes up, the king shows up. Yeah. Because when we begin to lift up the name of Jesus, when we begin to make space for Jesus in our lives, he shows up. And that's incredible that even though these people didn't know exactly what they were celebrating, exactly what God was doing, they had faith that God was going to show up and do something. So in the midst of that praise and that expectation, Jesus showed up. So when we cultivate an environment in our lives, very much like Palm Sunday, where we have expectation and praise, Jesus shows up. When the praise goes up, the king shows up. And the people of Jerusalem were doing just that during the Passover celebration. So even if you don't know what the solution is, even if you don't know what you need to be praying for, just begin to praise and have expectation. That's a key. That's something that we can take away from Palm Sunday. Even when I don't know what to pray, I can praise God. I can have expectation that he's going to save me, that I'm going to, out of my mouth there's this declaration, Hosanna, I praise you, and I have belief and trust that you're going to come through. So I love that thing. And then something else happened on Palm Sunday. They're waving palm branches. Now, did you guys wave any palm branches today?
No.
No, you couldn't find any palm branches. Sometimes we don't have palm branches, but we can wave our hands, right? On Palm Sunday, we wave palm branches or we wave our hands. On other Sundays, we just wave our hands around. How many people like to wave your hands? And so, you know, it's a way that we praise God. But in ancient Israel, they also had a different thing that they called a wave offering. And so it's where they would bring their sacrifice to the priest. The priest would lift up a piece of the sacrifice, and he would wave it around, and God would accept it on the people's behalf. Now, what was really cool on Palm Sunday in Jerusalem was Jesus comes in, everybody's waving palm branches, they're waving their hands around, they're shouting Hosanna, but while they're waving their palm branches around, waving their hands around, Jesus, as our high priest, was waving himself before the Lord, saying, I'm about to be the sacrifice, God, that I want you to receive on their behalf. And so Jesus did this, and it's so awesome because Palm Sunday, they didn't know what was going on. Even the disciples didn't know what was going on, but Jesus was waving himself.
That's right.
And so there's something really key that we can learn from this. And what do you think it is, Esperanza?
That we have to give our whole selves to Jesus, and we have to wave ourselves. By not holding back, we don't hold back. We just let Jesus use us fully and always be waveable.
Be waveable. So this is key because we want to be like Jesus. And Jesus lifted himself up before the Lord and waved himself. And actually, when we're trying to be like Jesus, the Bible says now that we are kings and priests before the Lord. So now as a king and priest, underneath our high priest, we're waving ourselves because we want to be like Jesus. And this is actually how the Apostle Paul said it in Romans 12, 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. In other words, wave yourself, be waveable. At this kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Isn't that powerful? So this is truly the way to worship him. So the waving of palm branches, the waving of hands is an outward symbol of something that we're doing inside our hearts when we're lifting ourselves up before God and saying, I'm waving me today, God. I'm waving me. I'm going to wave myself. So then the question becomes, how can I make myself a better sacrifice that can wave before the Lord? How can I make myself that living sacrifice that's holy, that's acceptable, it's set apart, that's for him? And so I'm waving it. How can I make myself that wave offering? What do you think, Christian?
You accept Jesus into your heart.
That's definitely one main thing.
You give yourself to God.
And then you give your, that's important. You give yourself to God. So that can look like a lot of things. Maybe it's, I'm going to take more time in this season. Maybe it's, I need to pray a little bit more in this season. Maybe it's, I need to get into his word a little bit more in this season. Maybe I need to cut certain things out of my life so that I can really, really set myself apart and wave myself before the Lord. Maybe it's just finding a ways to be more obedient to what God is saying. So whatever it is that God is tugging on your heart today, let yourself be that wave offering. Let yourself be the palm branch.
Yes. Oh, man, I love that so much. And I'm thinking about how when we actually wave our hand or when we hold a palm and wave it, it is an expression of worship. So when we become the palm branch, we become, or that wave, we become worship, which is what who God created us to be as worshipers. We worship him. So I just want to challenge us today as we do this, you know, as we're coming to a close, be just like she said, I know it's cute, but waveable. Can we be that expression of worship fully to where people can see us and say, man, I see that. I recognize that God is in your life. I recognize that Jesus has done something for you. So if you would, let's just pray together. Let's agree on this. God, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Jesus, for you giving of yourself, Lord, and just being the best example that we could have on how to live the undefeated life, God. And we know that comes with us laying ourselves down. We know that comes with us being, waveable and being, an expression of worship in a way that we haven't been before. Thank you, Lord, for being the ultimate example, Jesus, for us. And today we celebrate you. We celebrate that you are salvation, that you have come to seek and save the lost, Lord, that we have found you, God. We thank you for the hope that you give, Jesus. And today we just completely, like we were saying in worship, empty ourselves and say, Lord, have your way in us, God. And if there's anybody here that, you know, you say, I'm not sure that I've completely accepted Jesus in my heart, I want you to pray this with me. Lord, I recognize that I need you, Jesus. And I recognize that you are the one true living God. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And I ask you to be Lord of my life and show me the way. And I'll be careful to listen. In your name I pray. And I just thank you, God, for each person that's here, God, that you would continue to show us by your word, show us by your Holy Spirit. Take us places that we haven't been, God. Use us as your vessels, Lord. Let us be a light in the darkness. Let us truly exemplify what it is to be connected with you and to live the abundant life because we know you. We're connected to the vine. So we just thank you for these things, Lord. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can y'all give these two a big hand? I wanted to share a couple of things with you before we give today. All right. You guys are free. This is my joker right here. How many people really enjoyed the screen today? A lot of the worship team and AV team are super excited that we rented this for Palm Sunday and Easter, and I saw many people enjoying that today. But I wanted to say the vision that Pastor Corinne and I had was to actually purchase this and keep it. Amen. And so I know that what God has called us to do in this community and with evangelism and reaching new people groups and staying relevant, we have to have the tools. And this is a great tool that that really is something that complements what God is doing here. It enables us to do the broadcast as well as the in-person worship service better. It helps us to create a worship experience, helps the gospel message that we're doing to be more compelling. And so I would ask today that you would join with us. Something like this is very important. You were telling me something about being relevant. I want you to share that before I share the rest of what I was going
to
say.
Well, I think it's important for us to really put on God's vision. And that is that he, in his word, he commands us to, when we do things, to do them in excellence, do them well. What we do should represent Christ. And I think a lot of times people think, well, it's just a church, you know, and we shouldn't be thinking that way. Well, it's good enough, you know. I see the world doing great things, and I say, God, I want to be a pioneer in that. I want to do great things for your kingdom. We want to, as a church, make an impact on this nation. And I don't want to forget the younger generation. The younger generation is so powerful. They need us to get behind them. They need us to say, hey, we see you, and we're going to, you know, to help you. And a lot of times you don't even have a voice unless it looks like you're trying to move in that direction. And I don't know if you guys can see here, we have our old screen. And this is a straight up screen. There, it's a projector that we had. And so, you know, we have people on the team that would work very hard on these graphics, which are beautiful, but you would have a hard time really seeing it. So this is really just a step up in quality, like a big step up in quality. And I totally believe in doing things well and doing them right, because God has commissioned us. If we're going to represent him, let's represent him 110%.
So. Amen. I also believe in doing things debt free. How many believe in doing things debt free? And so the church is debt free, and the church is going to stay debt free. And so this is the vision. for those that know, technology a lot of times is expensive, but it's worth it. Things like this actually hold their value for a long time. Something like this would normally cost about $40,000. We were able to find some amazing deals with some people that are in the industry, that have been in the industry for 20 years, and we got a price of $23,000 for this. So, and so what that means for us is if we could find between this service and next service and Easter Sunday service and the broadcast, if we can find 23 people that would commit to giving $1,000, it'll be done in 2 weeks. Or we find 46 people that will give $500. Or maybe, yes, I'm going to say that. So I believe my faith is at a place that in 2 weeks, God is going to do this. And I believe in this so much that Pastor Corinne and I are sowing the first $1,000. But that's not it. Some of the leaders already talked to me, and $6,000 came in. So we're not raising 23, we're raising $16,000. That's what we're doing in 2 weeks. So I want to ask you to pray. Ask if God wants you to give $1,000, or if God wants you to give $500, or maybe you might give with somebody and make the $500. So ask what God would have you give. I don't want you to feel under pressure, under obligation. This is an incredible vision. I believe God is going to do big things. God is going to do greater and greater things in this year. And this is not the vision. This is a tool to reach the vision. This is a tool to reach the lost. This is a tool to get more people interested and saved. So that's what I'm not interested if it's not going to the gospel. And so to me, this is a tool to get to people. So I want you to pray about, is that me? Am I that person that needs to give $1,000? Am I that person that needs to give $500? Or whatever God puts on your heart. Amen. If you're given text to give, put after the number, you put building, because we're building hope. And so you can put building, it's going to go right into the right place. And so they don't, that we keep all that money to the side. If you're writing out an envelope, put building, just write it real big on there, building, because God has got us building something big. Amen. Amen. Is there anything that I left out or you want to mention?
I think that's it.
Amen. Let me pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for God, all of your people, God. These are your sons and daughters, God, and we're working here together as a body. We're working here together as a local outpost of the kingdom of God. Father, and you've called us to be fishers of men. And Father, we want to use the right tools, God, to be able to fish for men and women, young and old in our community, God. And thank you, Father, that you would, God, give us the means, Father, to be able to further the vision. God, we're excited about what you're doing. We're excited today because we know that you love cheerful givers. So whatever we're given today, we're given and we're excited. We know that you're going to take what we give today and you're going to multiply it. You're going to make it be, Father, above all that we could ask or think, God. And each and every person that gives today, God, I know that you're going to bless them according to your word that says when we sow into good soil, that you'll bless us 30, 60, and 100 times. God, I thank you, Lord, that your blessings will chase us down, that it'll be pressed down, shaken together, and running over, overflowing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.